Duncan of Faith FM, Drive Time, Big Q&A. It's the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. It's the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. Good evening, everyone. Pastor William Mawala here. I am your host tonight, and I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Andrew Newman. Andrew, it's always good to be in the studio with you, my friend.
G'day. Thanks, Will. Thanks for having me.
Blessings. So, we have a wonderful theme that we are going to be discussing tonight and the rest of our team as well. Our theme, New Year, New Start. And so obviously with New Year's just around the corner, we thought it might be a relevant conversation to have. So that's our theme tonight, New Year, New Start. And the question that Andrew and I will be looking at specifically is speaking about what does a new start look like? And so that's what we're going to be looking at this evening, and we hope that you will be blessed as we unpack this conversation. So here we go. So we're going to talk about New Year's. I guess part of why we want to share this is, you know, it's at that time where people are, you know, as we were sharing just off air, Andrew, you know, people want to make New Year's resolutions, you know, and we've all been there before. We said we're going to do something, want to eat better, we're going to start exercising, want to sign up to the gym, and and by the end of the month, the wheels start falling off, and we haven't really kept those New Year's resolutions that we had initially intended. So we're going to do it. I guess we want to have a conversation about that. But I'm super excited because, Andrew, I know you're going to unpack, I guess, from a biblical perspective, what does it mean to live a new start, so to speak? Now, we understand this is what the culture's saying and everyone's all revved up for 2026. But as we're going to find out, the Bible has much deeper lessons to share about this relationship with Jesus. So we hope that you will enjoy our show. And we look forward to engaging with you. So let me just, what we normally do, Andrew, we do what we call a World Watch segment, where you kind of share something that's happening on, you know, in our culture, on media, so to speak. But I just wanted to spend maybe five, you know, just a few minutes, just maybe just unpacking the concept of new start. So a couple of things, Andrew, and love to hear your thoughts as well, mate. Obviously, as I said earlier, when people think about New Year's, they think about resolutions, you know, they want to start training, you know, getting fitter and maybe their diet. So it's all good. As having said that, when I kind of thought of the topic tonight, a new start in that kind of vein, thinking about New Year's resolutions. But I wanted to maybe just also unpack, and we might come back to this a little later on in the show. When I hear the word new start as well, I'm thinking about it's an acronym for a way of life. And I came across this years ago when I was, you know, within church circles, especially within our faith group, within Seventh-day Adventist circles. And I want to share with our listeners tonight, Andrew, they may or may not have heard this acronym, but I want to share it with you because I feel like it could be almost a broad way of looking at life moving forward. So, you know, if you've got your goals and everything is ready and you're ready to attack the new year, well, awesome. Praise God. But let me share the acronym, and here it is. So if you haven't heard it, this is what another way you could look at it. This concept of new start. So here it is. So acronym, right? N-E-W-S-T-A-R-T. So here it is. New start can, and I think it was a health ministry organization in the US, Andrew, that come up with this acronym. And so here it is, new start. Now, I'm sharing this knowing, hoping that I remember all the points, but it goes like this. So N is for nutrition. Let me just give you the whole scope. N is for nutrition. E is for exercise. W is for water. S is for sunshine. T is for temperance. A is for air. I'm going well, right?
Yep.
This is no notes. This is air. And R is rest. And the last T is trust in divine power. So let me rattle that off again. So new start, N, nutrition, E, exercise, W, water, S, sunlight, T, temperance or self-control, A is for air, R is for rest, and then T, the last one, is trust in divine power. So just for this short segment here, Andrew, look, I'll be honest with you. I kind of think along those lines too when it's New Year's. I was just telling you off air about this this guy that I follow online, ex-Navy SEAL, and he has this thing called the Reset Challenge, which is basically around this time, where you start the new year with basically a checklist of things that you have personally committed to. You know, how much water are you going to drink? What are you going to do for exercise? What are you going to do for personal development? What are you going to do for, you know, your personal growth? You know, so those types of things. And I think people are somewhat aware of those things. So I guess what I would just want to say is for some people, it is maybe a time to reprioritize their life, so to speak, because, you know, it's end of December, January 1, 2026 is around the corner. So in some people's minds, this is the time to enact and start their, you know, their new goals. But I think we're also going to pick up in our conversation tonight is that human nature suggests that people have the intention, but whether they follow through, which is kind of coming back to what this ex-Navy SEAL, I'll just let our listeners know, his name's Jocko Willink, ex-Navy SEAL. He wrote a book a few years back called Extreme Ownership, and basically shared his account of his leadership lessons that he learnt when he was over in Iraq back in 2006. So I love the guy. I love following his stuff. But what he says, and maybe I might just, you know, use this part of the segment about New Year's resolutions. However, even though he created this community of Reset where anyone can join, you know, you register online and you download the app and you're basically just tracking what you're going to do for 30 days, you know, during the month of January. But what he does say, and I've heard him say this in another podcast, Andrew, is really that whole New Year's resolution is just, it's a fallacy, it's a myth. And he says, no. If you really want to start something, he says, you literally got to start right now. So he doesn't buy into the hype of January 1. And he has a mantra that he lives by, Andrew. And I've actually got it in my garage on my wall. And that's something that I've tried to incorporate in my personal life. And his mantra, if you follow Jocko Willink on Instagram, he gets up 4:30 every morning, takes a photo of his watch, and then he goes straight into a workout. But his mantra is discipline equals freedom. And his whole theme and perspective on life is, it's great to have goals and motivation, but it's your discipline that will push you through those times when you don't feel like going to the gym, don't feel like working out, don't feel like, you know. So yeah, he's a big proponent of the word discipline. I thought there's maybe some correlation, maybe perhaps, to the Christian life, Andrew, because when you think of the word, you know, I was just thinking myself, when you think of the word discipleship, it part of that word, the root word is disciple or discipline. I'm not saying that's the primary reason, because I believe that word discipleship entails a student, a learner. Mm-hmm. And it's this idea that you are following the rabbi, following someone in their path, so to speak. So I'm not saying that discipleship means discipline, but I think the root word of discipline, discipleship, they're very closely related. So I guess all I want to say is when it comes to new start, you know, going back to what I said earlier, nutrition, exercise, water, I just want to kind of make a general, you know, point here is at the end of the day, reflect on 2025, reflect on how this year has gone, yourself personally, your relationship with God. And in some ways, reflect and look, to be honest, Andrew, it's not something I do really a whole lot of. And I listen to, you know, I've listened to various leadership experts and they write books and all this stuff. And I'm thinking of one particular gentleman, John Maxwell. He's written many, many leadership books. And I was listening to a podcast with him recently where this month of December, he really just takes a week or so out and just looks at his whole calendar in the last 10 months and kind of asks himself those questions, you know, like what actually happened?
Wow.
Yeah. And actually, you know what he did as well, Andrew? I haven't done it myself personally, but I read it and it's like, wow. Cause he does, you know, he's more in the business space, but he's a person of faith. He's a Christian. And I was listening to him on a podcast, you know, a while ago where he said, what he did was this could even be maybe an exercise to do. He looked at his phone and what he did was he picked out, say, 10 or so pictures that was like almost like the highlights of his year. And you know, if you may be the same, Andrew, and I'm certainly like this. You take photos for any and every reason, right? So you got probably like 1,000 photos in there. And what he did was he turned those photos into almost like a speech that he gave to at some setting. I don't know what the setting was. And what he did was the pictures actually reminded him of some of the things that happened during the course of that year. So anyway, I guess what I'm just saying is, well, you don't have to do that, but I guess what I'm trying to communicate is look at your year and then ask yourself, did I grow? Let's put a bit of a spiritual context in there. Did I grow in my relationship with Jesus? Was I closer to God? Did I spend time in prayer? Did I spend that quality time each morning with Jesus? You know, I'm speaking now as a Christian. Did my character, did I grow in the process? You know, it's interesting, Andrew, because we both go to the same church, you know, Para Vista Adventist Church here in Adelaide, you know, and we've got the theme backdrop on the back curtain of our stage or the platform, so to speak, which is the conference's vision as well, growing in Jesus. And it's a great theme. It's a great thing to say, but maybe the question is like, how are you actually growing? Like, what does that mean for you? In very simple terms. So I'm basically just saying, you know, just kind of to cap off this short segment, this is a great time to look at your life, reflect, and then say, hey, moving forward, these are some goals. These are some things I want to do. But like I said earlier, whether we commit to it, you know, obviously that's really where the rubber hits the road. So there's that. Can I just also add as well, Andrew, I was on a call with this media personality I'm following online as well and signed up for some of her content. And she hosted a two-hour calendar planning session. And I wasn't there live for it, but I got the link and I watched it later, you know, my own time. And basically the whole 2 hours was getting your calendar and putting in key dates and things that you want to do. So just to give you a quick example, Andrew, one of the things, and look, it's not rocket science. People probably do this already, whether they had to listen to a podcast or not. But she said something like, okay, look at your calendar, mark out 4 weekends that's just for you and the family. And so I looked at my calendar and I'm like, okay, I think I can do there's that weekend over there in June. There's the long weekend over in October, you know. So I guess part of New Year's type of thing maybe could be as well as planning, looking at your diary, looking at what's happening. And certainly for me and you, Andrew, we're in the local church world where we're busy with ministry and Bible studies and stuff. But, you know, there's other aspects of your life that if we don't really put it in the diary. And she was a big proponent of this. If it's not scheduled, it's not going to happen. And I was like, man, that makes sense. Because I said to myself, like I was having a conversation with my wife, you know, just the other day. And like I was saying to you off air, oh, we want to go travel. We want to do this. We want to do this. And with this 2 hour calendar planning session still fresh in my mind, I was saying to my wife, I said, honey, we need to plan it. I mean, it's good for us to talk about it, but if we're not going to put it in the diary and go, look, these 2 weeks or this week, we're going to go on this trip or whatever it is. So I think for me, Andrew, and I don't know, I kind of like this season because you're kind of nearing the end of one and looking around the corner at the next. And in some ways, I look at my calendar and I start to think about what 26 could look like. And I start to get excited and I start to put down ideas and events and things I want to do, books I want to read, and maybe conferences I might want to attend, you know. So I think for me, it just brings a lot of clarity and almost like you're almost like planning the year, almost like to some extent you're seeing it in advance. Now, obviously, there's God, and God can totally disrupt our week and our year because God's in control. I think for me, look, I feel like I'm rambling on a bit, but let me just close it right now. I think for me, it's a good time to think about a new start, think about the acronym nutrition, exercise, water. So there's definitely a health aspect. Plan some goals, get a diary, commit to being a better you. You know, but not just the better you, because that's what our culture says, but, and we're going to, you know, you're going to share some scriptures, which I'm looking forward to, but biblically we want to be better stewards of who we are, our gifts, our times, our talents, our resources, but also at the same time, this whole new year, new you jargon, in some ways it can be very superficial. Almost like Christmas, you know, it's just a little season where everyone kind of makes a big fuss about something and then, you know, time moves on. So I'm glad that you're going to add to our conversation tonight, Andrew, about, you know, some biblical concepts and ideas. This is what Jesus says. This is what the Bible says when we're thinking about being a new person. It's not about I'm going to run, you know, 5Ks, you know, starting Monday, which I believe there's some merit in being healthy and having some daily habits. But more importantly, we want to look at it from the biblical perspective as well. Sorry, I feel like I've been talking too much. What do you think, Andrew? Just this whole new year, new start thing. I know you're sharing a bit off air as well, but when you think about this topic, and not that to take away from your time in a few moments, but general thoughts, what do you think about New Year's resolutions and, you know, all this stuff I've been mentioning?
Well, I don't generally think much of them at all because, like Will said, we keep them, we make them and then we break them. But, gee, it is even though every day is the same, it is a time to pause and think, and it kind of is like it's almost set it within us that January 1 we're going to make some changes. Maybe this is a God thing too, I don't know. But, yeah, so it is definitely good to –
To commit
to make change to better your fitness, better your health, and yeah. But I'm definitely not a planning sort of a person. I pretty much go by the moment. So
led by the spirit, yeah, brother.
That's why I've got 5 kids and
awesome. And I think there's a bit of an interplay between planning, but like I was saying earlier, the power of the present. Stop focusing on January 1. Stop focusing on next week. Do something today. And this is where I maybe just add as well, you know, God is the God of Scripture, gives us a brand new 24 hours every time we wake up. And for the Christian, we're not just wanting to be new, to look better and appear better before man. We're trying to prepare our hearts for eternity.
Amen.
So we're going to touch on that most definitely. So hey guys, that's somewhat of an introduction to our theme tonight and for the rest of the week. New year, new start. But tonight, well, we're looking at what does a new start look like. So we've kind of been touching that a bit, but we're certainly going to jump into scripture as well. So hey guys, we're going to go to some music, but before we do, we just want to plug our free book offer. So tonight's book offer is Finding Peace Amidst the Storm by Robbie Bergen. A great book to have as we walk into the new year. If you'd like a free copy of Robbie Bergen's book, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, all you need to do is grab your phone, text us the code. The code tonight is SA356. Please text the code SA356 to the number 0488 80811. And we will get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, a great resource by author Robbie Bergen. If you'd like a free copy, text us the code SA356 to the number 0488 80811, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So please don't go away. We'll be back in just a few moments.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus.
Amen. That was Fernando Ortega. I love that song. We hope you enjoyed that. Give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you've just joined us, it's Will and Andrew in the studio tonight. Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A. We're looking at the theme tonight and for the rest of the week. New year, new start. That's the overarching theme. But tonight, Andrew and I are looking at the question, what does a new start look like? So we're going to be unpacking some scripture tonight. And we want to see it from the Bible as well, because we just before the break, we talked about, I guess, what when people think about New Year's, what that means and entails. Now we're going to dive into some scripture. But before we do that, Andrew, if you don't mind, could we just, I'd just like to offer a quick word of prayer, if that's okay, my friend. Let us pray. Father God, as we open your word, the Holy Bible, we pray as you've promised in scripture that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Andrew, when you think about this concept, this idea of a new start, as it were, and how do you see that in terms of Scripture? Does the Bible speak about a new start? What does the Bible describe when it talks about, you know, things along these themes, these lines? And I know that you've got some verses to share with our listeners out there. So, yeah, walk us through some of these biblical principles that you've found in the Bible.
Yeah, well, the whole Bible from cover to cover really is about a new start, isn't it?
I love it.
Mankind has broken his covenant with his Creator, and he's going to come to get us, you know. So the whole thing's about a new start.
Yeah, so hey, hit the ground running, so man.
If,
I love it.
Yeah, if we read the first scripture I've got here is 1 Peter 1:3, and it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So isn't a New Year's resolution, a new start, is all about hope really, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that text, a living hope.
Yeah.
Can you read that again?
"Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
So begotten us again. Mankind has wandered away. This planet is lost like a little dark spot in the universe, but God has come to redeem us. And personally, for each one of us, this is what we need. A new start.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's looking at this idea of New Year's resolution, a new start through the biblical worldview, an eternal perspective, so much bigger than just planning to do a few push-ups, you know.
Not, from eternal perspective.
Yeah, but I'm right into that as well, just so, yeah. So the next scripture I'd like to read, and this is a classic about being born again. It's John chapter 3. And we'll read 1-6.
Amen.
Maybe we can talk a bit about this.
Yep.
Jesus answered, and I'll start from verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit.'"
Amen.
So this is really talking about the first time we're born in the flesh. We are born separated from God. We need to be born again, born of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking the same thing, a new birth.
Mm.
And I was just thinking in light of what we've been saying, Andrew, as opposed to the culture that says, you know, January 1 is the day for the believer, this is a daily encounter with God. You know, being born again. Mm. And that's not just a one-time experience. It's something we experience on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I love that story. I mean, I was thinking of, you know, biblical stories that highlight this new birth, this new, and yet, wow, this story is right up there.
Yeah.
Probably the best explanation, you know, of what Jesus communicated. You need a new heart.
Yeah.
You can't keep doing what you think you're doing and thinking you're okay. No, there needs to be a total transformation within your heart, Nicodemus, and for us as well. So I love how you brought that out. Just a couple of things as well, Andrew. You know, I've read this passage as you have and our listeners may have many times. When Jesus said, you know, you must be born again, it can also be perhaps interpreted, translated where Jesus, you could almost say being born from above, because I believe that word there can mean from above. And if you kind of follow that train of thought, Jesus often would say things like that in the Gospels, you know, like, "I've come from heaven, you know, I'm from above, you're from below." So this kind of this spatial kind of concept that Jesus would often share, you know. So, But yeah, historic, you know, over the centuries, we've interpreted as being born again.
Hmm.
And I think that's certainly biblical as well, because the implication is you were born in sin the first time.
Yeah.
You were born with a fleshly heart, evil desires, propensities. The gospel, God says, you know, I'm thinking of a text in Ezekiel where it says, you know, I'm going to take out that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Mm. Oh, you've got that on your text.
We'll read that shortly.
Yeah. So awesome. So what I'm hearing is the story of Nicodemus, Andrew, the new birth, not a new day, not you know, 500 push-ups for the month of January, but biblically, Jesus say, hey, it's not even about that per se. It's good. What you need, Nicodemus, and what we all need is that born-again experience.
Mm, we need life, because without that, we do not even have life. So
powerful. Yeah. Awesome. Mm. Awesome.
Yeah, so, and we'll have a look at the mechanics of this, but let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Wow, love that one.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Yeah, so this is really speaking about being born again as well, isn't it?
Yep.
The old has passed. This life in the flesh has passed. Now we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
And amen.
This process of becoming a child of God begins the moment the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. It's a process, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for me, when I think about being born again and what my experience has been lately, it's a daily experience. You know, and I see this in the sanctuary as well. God says in Psalm 77:13, your way is in the sanctuary. So every day I come to the Lord.
Yeah.
A sinful, broken man. I confess my sins. I repent.
Mm.
And that's my way forward.
Yeah.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Without that, I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I'm lost. You know. Mm. So this is what God has made for the way forward. His death and resurrection on our behalf. And as I've been studying the sanctuary, that's been a real revelation to me that God has made that as a way forward for me. And we haven't got time to unpack the whole sanctuary system and that, but yeah.
Powerful.
What a blessing, you know. So we come to God every day.
Mm.
We recognize who we are. God, I'm lost without you. I'm part of this human race, part of this planet. Lost without you. I need you. Please forgive me for my sins. Forgive me. For me, it's not just been about forgive me of my sins. It's forgive me for who I am. Because when I look at myself, I see someone who's in my – the things in my heart are contrary to God and to his law.
Yeah.
So I come to him every day and then I walk away forgiven of my sins and into a brand new day.
Like a
fresh start every day.
Amen. Love it. Love it, Andrew.
Mm.
I'm thinking of the two great – and I think it was a pastor that kind of shared these two words in the concept of coming to Christ, you know, Matthew 11, come to me, all you that weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So it's the gospel call, come.
Yeah.
And that's part of the daily walk, right?
Yeah.
So you come to Christ and then, you know, the gospel, Matthew 28, go. So it's this kind of two-way street, if you will. Each day we come to Christ, we are, you know, born again, connect with Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, and in that time where we're just abiding in Christ, filling our mind with scripture and prayer and just the Holy Spirit, and then we go out. And that's like you said, Andrew, it's a daily thing. Hey, by the way, as we listen, for our listeners out tonight, we don't have to wait for January 1 for the new birth experience. We can claim it right now. We can claim God's promise, receive it by faith, and live that new life. And just another thing to add to that text, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I love where, you know, Paul seems to be his theme, you know, this concept of being in Christ. And, you know, the word that comes to my mind is identity. You know, for Paul, he's basically saying to the Corinthian church and or wherever he went, that your identity now is not found in your past or who you were, whether you're a Gentile, whether you were, you know, bond or free, or, you know, there's another reference where he says, you know, talking about all the different groups that he was ministering to, in Christ we have a new identity. And certainly Paul was championed this in Christ idea that, you know, Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And he says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away, old things become new. So I love that verse. So I love the scriptures you're sharing with our listeners, Andrew. You got John 3, what a powerful story. Nicodemus, religious leader, thought he knew everything. Jesus turns around and said, you need to be born again. You need to be converted. And here is the Apostle Paul. You know, if you've given your life to Christ, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. So that to me, I mean, the world saying new year, new you, and let's get on the treadmill. And biblically speaking, it's, yeah, it's part of Christian stewardship. But the very core, the biblical message is God wants to give us a new heart. So loving these verses you're sharing with us.
You know, God's come to save us from our sins, not to give us a six-pack, hasn't he?
So. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a six-pack. No. Not that I had one. Well, maybe I did back in year 11, you know. But you're right.
Man has a greater need.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And if we let's just stay there for a moment, Andrew. Yeah, I agree. Because in today's, you know, social media landscape, young people it's all about how they look and people, you know, this is a new phenomenon. I mean, with the introduction of the internet, people, you know, like this whole toxic gym culture. I don't know if you're aware, but, you know, there's a lot of toxicity out there and young men and women are, you know, and
I've seen people do it, actually taking photos of their abs and and they post it online. Wow.
Well,
it's a different world.
Yeah. But isn't it true? Kind of like, what's that verse when God called, was it Saul? When God said to, David. Sorry, the prophet Samuel, said to David, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. And man, how true is that today? Everyone's so fixated on the exterior and what we look like and the car we drive and, you know, it's all for man's, for show. Hey, God says, I don't care about that. What I care about is your heart.
Yeah, and that was what was in John chapter 3, wasn't it?
Yep.
Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you need a regeneration of your heart. You need to be born again of the Holy Spirit who will come in and begin this process with you.
And I've found as well, Andrew, you know, being a follower of Jesus is, where the rubber hits the road is for the individual, for you and I, for the Christian to say, you know what? It's not my will. I choose this day, every day, not my plans and my ideas and what I think. I'm choosing God. I put God first. You know, the Matthew 6:33 principle, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. And I think that's where the Christian worldview in our culture is diametrically opposite. The culture says it's all about you. Go for it. Be successful and get as much money as you can and just be the best you can be. And I think there's a speck of truth to that because I like the concept from the 30,000 foot view, but the Bible, Jesus says, no, you want to follow me? Wasn't it that Christian author, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that Christian, he died in the, I think he died in the Nazi concentration camps. He said something, I think I saw a quote the other day. He goes, when Jesus calls us to follow him, he's actually calling you to die. Like he said it just so bluntly, like it was no motivational flowery. No, he's like, following Jesus is death.
But in that we get life, don't we?
Yeah.
We find life. True life.
Yeah. So walk us through, because you mentioned Nicodemus, you've got 2 Corinthians 5. What other verses and principles and ideas that speak to you, Andrew, about this new life, that is found with God?
Well, I just can't help but get stuck on the thought that it's a daily thing. You know, we don't get born again and that's it. We're new. This is a daily process, you know, that we have to go through. And and I think that's kind of encouraging, because I used to think, well, I've given my heart to you, Lord. Why do I still struggle? And even still now, I come and I begin this new start every day. But then by the end of the day, I find myself, Father, forgive me. Yep. You know, I've gone through the day. I've made mistakes. That's why this is a daily process. Mm. And we see that in the earthly sanctuary, the daily services. Mm. You know, people brought their sacrifice to the temple daily for their sins, you know, and their sins were transferred through the blood of the innocent animal into the sanctuary, and then the Day of Atonement to cleanse the sanctuary of the record of sins, place the sins upon the head of the scapegoat, which was Satan, and the sins are removed from the camp of the people of the sanctuary. So this is all foreshadowing today a plan of redemption and for mankind to move forward through confession and repentance. So we can see that we come to God every day. We confess our sins. We ask for forgiveness, and he has made a way for mankind to go forward. And this speaks of the mercy of God. But I'd like to read a verse in Isaiah 43:18-19.
Yep.
So once we've given our heart to the Lord, you know, we've made a commitment to him to begin a new start. And now let's have a look how the power belongs to him to regenerate us. So Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth.
Amen.
Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert."
Amen.
And I'll read another verse from Isaiah as well. Isaiah 65:17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind."
Amen.
So this is talking about the creative power of God. It's him that does this work in us. When we come to him, his power is what changes us. I can't change my heart. My job is to come to him every day.
Yep.
And his power is what works in me.
Yeah. Hey, Andrew, I love that verse about, you know, God going to create a new thing in us. I also believe, as you said, it's a daily walk. And when I was thinking of comments you just shared a few moments ago, there's a verse in the New Testament where Paul says, you know, I die daily. And so, like, just picking up what you're saying, it's a daily walk with Jesus. It's not like I accept Jesus and that's it. You know, it's a daily walk. And I'd like to maybe just add here, when I first came into faith, Andrew, gentleman in Sydney by the name of Dominic Rosina, he was my elder at the time at Concord Church, studied the Bible with me, and more than just studied, Andrew, I saw this man, his marriage, his kids. You know, he's had two little kids in primary school, they're all grown up now. And I remember as a young 20-something-year-old looking at him and going, man, I want that. He's got something I don't have. He's got God. And he would say to me time and time again, Andrew, in our Bible studies, he would say, William, and he'd say this all the time, he says, God is in the business of character building. And he'd apply that to how he would, you know, at church, you know, he was very much, everything was about, you know, putting God first, excellence. And he'd say that to me time and time. I never realized why he kept saying that so often. And I realize now that every day God's trying to shape you and mold you. And this is what the Bible calls sanctification. It's growing daily. It's a daily walk, a daily growing with Christ. And I think that's maybe part of what sometimes we can miss in the journey with Jesus. It's not just a weekly thing, or I'm just going to rock up to church, or I might just read my Bible, you know, I forgot a bit of time here and there. It's a daily commitment and a sacrifice. You know, Paul says that we are living sacrifices, you know. So, look, like you said, you know, it's Jesus calls for 100% commitment. He's not saying, well, choose me if you've got, you know, your weekends free, like you're joining a soccer team or something. He's like, following me is going to cost everything. But like you said, I love how you brought the caveat, in losing your life, we actually gain our life. Mm. So there's the paradox there. Yes, it's going to cost you your life, your pride. You know, you're basically saying, well, I'm going to follow Jesus and whatever the Bible says and whatever the Holy Spirit teaches me, that's what I'm going to do. Give us another thought because we'll go to a break in a moment, but I know you've got, you're going to share another verse there. Just share a bit more there, then we'll jump into the break, Andrew.
Well, I'd like to share a verse from Ezekiel 36, and
yeah.
I want to see how this works, you know, this
perfect
how God's creative power comes in and changes us. So Isaiah 36, 26, it says, I will give you a new heart.
Amen.
And put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And this is how it works. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
Amen.
So,
amen.
So when the moment we open up our heart and surrender to the Lord, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And this is the mechanics of it. His Holy Spirit comes in and changes us.
Amen. And so, hey, Andrew, we're going to have to go to a break, but loving what you're sharing from the scriptures. For you, our listeners out there, we hope you're enjoying our conversation thus far. We need to just go to a break and then we've got a bit more time to go in our show tonight. But before we jump into the song, I just want to promote the book offer one more time. If you missed it the first time around, here it is, our free resource we want to offer to you, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm by author Robbie Bergen. If you'd like a free copy of this book, just text us the code SA356 to the number 0488-80811, and we'll get that book out to you as soon as we can. So once again, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm by Robbie Bergen. If you'd like a free copy, just text us the code SA356 to the number 0488-80811. We're going to go to some music, and our next song is Write Them on My Heart by Maletta Fong. We'll be back in just a few moments.
You have written what you want from me in stone, a reflection of your character, O Lord. So I try to keep your laws without regret, but I'm easily distracted and forget. So write them on my heart, seal them in my mind. The beauty of your law and grace combine. Remind me just how lovely your commandments are, and write them on the tablets of my heart.
There is only one desire inside of me. It's to be everything you've created me to be. And I know the only way that I can grow is for you to come inside and take control.
So write them on my
reveals your grace.
Love's the motivation behind your perfect ways. So write them on my heart,
your commandments are, and write them on the tablets of my heart.
Amen. That was Maletta Fong. Write them on my heart. Andrew's chuckling a bit because we were just literally having this conversation off air about God writing his law in our hearts. Actually, I wanted to like let you know, Andrew, I was about to say, this is the song we're talking about. But you were deep, you know, connecting the verses and everything. But hey, if you've just joined us, we've got a few minutes to go in our show tonight. Our theme for Drive Time Big Q&A for this week, New Year, New Start. And Andrew and I have been looking at the question, what does a new start look like? And it's being abundantly clear in scripture. And a new start is when a person comes to faith in Christ, claim the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he writes his law on our hearts, and it's a daily commitment. So, Andrew, I know you've got maybe a couple more points to share before we round out our program tonight. So you've mentioned there's Ezekiel 36 before the break.
Yeah, I'll read
beautiful,
that one again.
Yeah, go for it.
You know, just as we start off again, you know, we looked at how this born-again experience, we open up our heart to the Lord. You know, he knocks, we open up, we surrender our life to him.
Amen.
But then it's his power that comes in and changes. And it's kind of been a revelation to me of how he does it, because I come to him every day, but I still fail every day. So it's this daily experience I need to have. So the Christian walk is a journey, the journey of a lifetime. And I find that encouraging, you know, because hey, I fail, you know, so.
Amen. Yeah.
So I'll read them again, Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, and this is how it works. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
Amen.
And then if we go to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll read verses 14 and 16. And I believe this is how it works. This is the part of the new covenant, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.
Amen.
So we can see this has a real, it's not magic, it's a real practical application. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us and writes the law of God in our hearts and in our minds. You know, and when we see the role of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, we see that one of the biggest roles of the Spirit is conviction. He convicts us.
Amen.
He helps us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this plays a massive part in our salvation. So,
amen, amen.
All part of the new covenant.
Amen. So as we round out tonight, Andrew, it's in the various scriptures you're sharing tonight. You know, yeah, it's one thing to have New Year's goals and knock yourself out. What we're trying to share is the New Year resolution that God wants to give us each day is an encounter with him through the person of the Holy Spirit.
Every day.
Character formation. It's this daily growing of Jesus. And as you said earlier, and look, that's part of the daily walk. We walk with the Lord, the daily repentance, the daily forgiveness, the daily cleansing, and the daily filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking the same thing, Andrew, as it pertains to the Holy Spirit. Why do we have to keep asking is there merit in continuously asking? And, you know, I came across an author and she says that this idea that when we're asking and continue asking God, it almost psychologically we want it more, if that makes sense.
Mm.
So there's that aspect that it we desire it more when we keep asking and knocking on heaven's door for God's blessing. I also read about picture the Holy Spirit and your life as somewhat of an analogy as a bucket with a couple of holes underneath. So God filling, let's say the water is the Holy Spirit, right? And as he fills you up each day because of our carnal nature and our human tendencies, you know, it's the Holy Spirit seeping out and we're kind of maybe, doing our own things, thinking our own thoughts and going off the track, so to speak. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is we are like leaky vessels that we constantly need a filling.
Mm.
You know, so it's not like we ask one day or we ask for the Holy Spirit when we got baptized. That's it. You never need to ask again because you'll always have an abundance of the Holy Spirit. No, the way it works out, as you said, Andrew, we're fallen beings. We sin, we fall, we make mistakes. So every day it's like we need to fill our cup again.
Yeah.
It's like we're without God, we're these leaky earthen vessels that God wants to fill us, but because of our carnal nature and desires and just how we are as humans, it's seeping out and there's holes, so to speak. There's gaps in us. So I've always, when I read that, I forgot where I read it. I was like, oh, that kind of makes a bit of sense. It's like this, you know, we need a constant infilling.
Mm.
So, Andrew, we've got just a couple of minutes to go. Is there a final maybe verse or idea that you want to leave our audience with? I know you've shared quite a lot, but is there something that you want to leave our listeners with as we journey into 2026 and their relationship with God?
Mm. I suppose just speaking personally, as I may have mentioned before, I can't remember that, you know, I come to God every day and I repent and I confess my sins and I feel better. I start again. I start afresh. I walk out into the new day.
Mm.
But then the next day I come again and I think, God, have mercy upon me. And this is how it's got to be, I reckon. And this is what we see in the earthly sanctuary, that every day these services went ahead and this is God's way forward for mankind. Mankind in a sinful state needs mercy every day to keep going forward. And I'd just like to encourage everyone, you know, this is the work of a lifetime. So, but if we don't come to him, he can't change us. So we've got to come to him every day.
Amen.
But I'd just like to read one more verse, and it's in Lamentations 3:22-23.
Amen.
It says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not.
Yeah.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. I love that verse. His mercies are new every morning.
Mm.
So we don't have to wait for January 1. Hey,
no.
The new year can start the new day. The new you can start right here, right now, as you invite the Lord into your heart each day. Andrew, I'm just thinking in the last minute we have, perhaps share a prayer with our listeners out there and just for their, you know, as they move forward into 2026 by the grace of God, pray over our listeners. Pray, we've had a wonderful year this year at Faith FM, all the lovely listeners that have been engaging with us during the course of the year. But, send us out with a blessing for our listeners there that they will implement things that you have shared tonight.
Mm. Our loving Father in heaven, I want to thank you that you love us so much you didn't leave us to our plight, our state of being, but you came and you rescued this planet. You came and rescued each one of us and every single soul you have created to be with you forever. So I thank you that you made a way for this to happen and that we see this in the sanctuary, Father, that we come to you every day in confession and repentance, and your atoning sacrifice removes our sins from us. But help us to come every day, Father. I pray your blessing upon each one listening. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Andrew. So our time is unfortunately up for tonight. Thank you all for listening and being with us right to the end of the show. Please join our host, Pastor Gary, Pastor Marty, tomorrow as they look at the topic, A Better Physical Life. What does the Bible say? We hope to see you tomorrow. So on behalf of Andrew and myself, may God richly bless you, and we'll hope to see you next time. God bless.